to Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Elondis Lake. Our search for unity starts within. Our quest for safety starts within. Once we understand the role difference plays when building community, we can release what we are holding back. We can learn from life's challenges. We can become who we are meant to be.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Illusion of Difference. I am your host, Elondis Lake. I'm here with my co-person and friend and great person, Sarah Branch. She's been sharing her journey into her true self, and I am very honored to have been a part of, just a small part of, sharing the information that she has and freely shares. And I feel honored for that. So without any more stuff, I'm just going to invite Shira to come into the program and welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you, Elondis. I'm glad to be here, as always.
I'm glad to have you. Yeah, and, I'm glad to have you here.
Been a wild trip here so far. It's I'm a transgender woman, and I came out really late in life, and I was in my 50s before I actually came out as transgender. Been in the closet for a very long time and worried about how family or friends would take it, especially my parents. And I actually waited until they were gone, until my parents were gone, and until my wife had passed on, before I stopped playing the roles that society said I was supposed to be in and started seeking what the role I naturally belonged in was. And for the last 3 1/4 years now, I've been on that journey, longer than that, really. 3 1/4 years of fully committed to the journey, but it started in mid-2014 with my first explorations into my feminine side. And now we're actually approaching the finish line, which is exciting. We're getting down to the point where it's only about 6 months or so before I will have my last surgeries and actually be as fully female as medical science can make me.
Yes, and I'm excited. I really am. Like I said, a part of, just a small part of witnessing your change and your coming into your own. And it's, again, I'll say it's been an honor to do this. And I feel very, emotional about it a little bit. And I might, kind of stagger with my words a little, but I'm really glad that you're here. So let's, you're on the road. You can see the finish line. You see the line that you need to run across and all of that good stuff I'm using. So tell us what you expect. Tell us a little bit about the last part of what you're going to have done. Just a little. We don't need to go into a whole lot of detail because that is
right.
Pretty much out there if people want to. To learn more about it. But I'm more interested and more, I think it's more compelling to hear individual stories. And that's what I would like for you to focus on, if that's all right with you, mostly. So
sure.
Let's start with what exactly are you pretty much going to have done? What do you mean when you say it's the last stage of your transition?
What I've already been through is changing my hormone levels with hormone therapy, so that my hormone levels are feminine. I've got as much estrogen as the average fertile woman. I've got less testosterone now in my system than, even though I haven't had the final surgeries, I've got less testosterone in my system than a prepubescent boy. So my hormone levels are very feminine. Last November, I finally got my top surgery. So if you looked at me topless, you see nothing but girl. Now the final stage in this is the lower surgery, where they do magic origami surgery and kind of fold things inside out to give me a vagina instead of male equipment. And it's an amazing surgery, the fact that they can do it at all. And it's also kind of misunderstood, because a lot of people, you want to do what? You want to cut it off? No,
yeah.
No, I don't want to cut it off. I want to repurpose it. Because when this is done, I'll have a functioning vagina. I'll have a functioning clitoris. I'll be able to have orgasms. I'll be functional for sexual purposes, for everything except actually having babies. I won't be able to do that. But I could mate with men or women as I choose and fully enjoy it. It's not just becoming an extreme eunuch. It's actually is a full transition, as much as medical science can do, to being a fully functional and receptive woman. And it's a scary process. I mean, you're talking about repurposing some of the most intimate parts of the body, the most intimate parts, really. and yet it's been a proven process now for years. They know how to do it. They know it works. The success rate's really high. But honestly, I'm going to be looking at months of pain. I am setting myself up for the biggest kick in the crotch you ever had. But it's worth it in the long run. I'll go up sometime in the second quarter of next year is when it looks like we're actually going to get to schedule a surgery date. The exact date has not yet been set.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent most of the last year going through electrolysis down there to get rid of most of the pubic hair, because everything that they're going to repurpose has to be clean as a baby's butt.
Yeah.
No hairs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want hairs inside when they are finished with all this. And that process in itself is a very painful process. I've been going in every week for 1 to 2 hours each session every week to get those hairs removed. Mm-hmm. I've done one session so far with anesthesia where they basically numb the entire area and were able to work for 6 hours at high speed and clear a whole lot in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had to recover from that for basically a month or so before it's able to be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, paying it out of my own pocket, I'll do the same thing for the face, getting rid of the last vestiges of facial hair and stuff, so that I don't ever have to wake up with sandpaper on my face.
Yeah.
That'll be something I'll have to pay for out of pocket, and thousands of dollars out of pocket to finish that last step. But this big one, getting the lower surgery and getting myself a vagina, it's not only, the fact that they're doing such radical surgery and that they're having to reform things and your body has to heal from all that. But it's also a commitment that literally like 3 times a day, every day for years, I will have to do various maintenance routines to make sure it doesn't heal up the wrong way, to make sure that everything stays open and functional. And that eventually will taper down to a daily thing or maybe even just a weekly thing.
Mm-hmm.
But quite a while, I'll have to get off by myself privately for a period of time, two or three times a day, in order to do the necessary maintenance, and that in itself can be, to a certain extent, painful.
Yes, I was thinking that it probably would be, yeah.
To use a less direct analogy, and I'm not sure exactly how close this is, but for those listeners that have had gauges put in their ears where they've had a piercing and then had that piercing enlarged so that they can put larger and larger inserts into their earlobes, the kind of stretching that you have to do for that is basically what I'm having to do with my new vagina.
Mm.
It'll initially be a pretty decent size, but I need to make sure it stays that size, and the body doesn't say, "Oh, you've got a hole. We need to heal that up."
Yeah.
No, that one's supposed to be there now. Thank you. Remember that. And it takes a while.
It's a level of commitment that some people don't even put into a marriage. I'm using that sort of in a joking way, but
that's true.
But
you're right though.
And I'm wondering if you can share a little bit about how that commitment is, because again, I don't think a lot of people have that experience of being in any kind of commitment as large and as all-encompassing and life-changing as this is, in addition to having that for themselves. This is a gift that you're giving to you. I'd like for you to, if you're okay, if any time I ask you something you don't want to talk about it,
that's fine. This is one of the reasons you interview me, is because I'm so open on this.
Yes, you are. And that's some of the feedback I've gotten, that they're amazed at how people are amazed at how open you are. And I said, that's the kind of person you are. And that's what makes you a gift to everyone you know. You know, you're just you. You know, and that is a gift that not many people can give, because a lot of us don't know who we are. We know who we are with this setting, that setting, the other. But you're one of those people who are authentic and a gift. I'll say it again. So if you don't mind,
thank you.
Talking a little bit about the commitment that you made to yourself, and the thought process, the emotional process that you went through, that kind of thing.
Well. Kicking back a little bit here on the start of my feminization, some of my earlier commitments that kind of eased into this were like the first time that I got my ears pierced, and having to do daily maintenance on that to make sure that the little openings didn't close up, wear earrings every single day, having to clean it carefully with cleaning solutions to make sure it didn't get infected. Or committing to having acrylic fingernails, so I've got long feminine fingernails, and the financial commitment of going in every couple of weeks, or at least every 3 or 4 weeks, to get that renewed and get it updated. Because once you start, you can have them taken off. You can go back to the way that they were, but you don't want to. And if you don't maintain them, just like with the earrings, if you don't do that necessary maintenance initially until everything gets healed, it's going to fail. It's going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
And more recently, as a lead-in to the surgeries, it was August of 2018 is when I committed full-time to being female, when I basically said, okay, I'm starting the hormones, I'm going to get my legal name changed and my legal identity changed, and I'm going to do everything I can to get my body ready for this full transition. Then 2018, I started all the medical stuff with hormones. 2020, I looked at myself and said, it's going to be another year or so, but by the time I get to those surgeries, I want my body to be in as good a shape as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And to be perfectly honest, I wasn't at that point. Mm-hmm. I'm 5'10", and I'd gotten up to 229 pounds. And I looked at myself in the mirror and said, girl, this is not going to do it.
Mm.
Your belly's bigger than your bust. Even at a 40D, 40D bust, and my belly was as big as the 40D bust. I was full of a beer barrel cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it, no, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have a figure that I'm proud of. I'm going to have a body that they can operate on and not be cutting through a ton of blubber and worried about whether the surgery might fail because they can't get the right angles on things or there's too much fat in the way or whatever. And so start of 2020, I committed to daily exercise and daily keeping track of my fitness and my diet.
Mm.
And I am now to the point where I am over 655 days of never missing one single day of exercise in that period of time.
Mm.
655 consecutive days of
That's
committing
fantastic.
Myself to doing at least 2 miles a day of walking, sometimes as much as 9 miles in a day, committing myself to not being a couch potato and getting up and moving around so that every hour for at least 12 hours a day, I'm moving around at least some. I'm not just laying there. Committing myself to getting enough general movement that I burn off enough additional calories to keep the weight loss going. And I've gone from 229 pounds to 178.
Wow, that's great. That is fantastic.
I went from a size 18 to 20 on my pants and skirts to a size 8 to 10.
That's a big difference. Yeah.
So I used to have about a 44-inch belly. I now have a 32-inch waist. Yeah, I'm now 45, 32, 42. And that's come from committing myself every single day to that diet and exercise.
And following.
And that's also prepared me mentally. Yeah, that's also prepared me mentally for the kind of commitment I'm going to need after that final surgery, where every day, several times a day, I need to take care of things and make sure that that heals up right and make sure that everything continues to work the way it's supposed to work.
I have to say, this, what you're saying right now is something that more and more people should consider, not the commitment. What I'm hearing you say is you took an assessment and it was a full assessment internally, how you felt internally, how you felt externally, and what didn't match or what didn't fit or what wasn't what you wanted out of love for yourself. I'm hearing a good respect and love for yourself. You found out what you needed to do and take care of it.
Yeah, it was literally a matter of identifying that, you know, I've got these goals, and to achieve these goals and to enjoy these goals, I need to do my part.
Mm-hmm.
I need to step up to the plate, commit myself to this effort, and give it my 100% best. And that's a good lesson for anybody, regardless of what you're trying to do, with whether you're just trying to improve your own fitness or your study habits, or how well you keep your house.
Exactly.
It's just a matter of assessing what you really want to get out of life, and then manifesting that by doing what you need to get there.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's really difficult. And sometimes there are barriers that are going to stop you from doing everything you'd like to do. But you'll never get there if you don't try. You'll never get there if you don't give it the effort.
That's just good advice for everybody. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like you said, from the teeny tiny things to the big, huge changes, it's the same thing. You take the assessment, you decide, make a commitment to yourself. Oh, and one of the other things I would add is just look at the people who are around you as well. Are they supporting your process? Or will they say, why do you want to do this, that kind of thing? I'm not saying that that's going on now with you or even in the past, but that's another assessment, I think, that is difficult to do, but necessary.
And that is definitely something that's a big barrier for a lot of people that are going through transition. There's an awful lot of them that don't have that family support, don't have that support from friends, and they're trying to do it on their own. They're trying to push upstream without even a paddle because everybody's fighting every step of the way, you know, insisting on calling them by their dead name, their old name that they were assigned before they realized who they really were, insisting on treating them like, you know, this is just a phase they're going through or something. Nobody would go through this if they had a choice in it. There are so many barriers. There are so many things that you have to do to achieve this kind of transition. So many things you have to give up to achieve this kind of transition that if you're not fully committed to it, if you don't have some support, you're going to have a hell of a time getting there.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky. I've literally had pretty much universal acceptance from my friends and my surviving family. My little sister is probably the one family member that's had the hardest time with this because we were so close as children. Her image of me is so much still as, but that's my big brother.
Yeah.
And she's growing to accept that I'm her big sister now.
Yeah.
And she uses the right pronouns. She uses the right name. She sends me the right gifts, you know, the girl-oriented gifts, not boy-oriented gifts for birthdays and Christmas and everything. But it's still hard for her. It's still very difficult for her to wrap her head around, why do I really want to do this? There was a question she raised at one point, not too far back, that she said she just couldn't understand why somebody that had been born with a male body and raised as a male and who liked girls would go through the change to become female but still likes girls.
That catches a lot of people.
And I'm saying, well, you'd be surprised how many people are transgender but are not the least bit gay. Their choices as far as who they're attracted to are completely separate from their choices or their needs as to what their gender identity is. And my answer to her about, you know, well, why would anybody do this is because my needs in a partner are the same as any lesbian woman's needs. My needs in the relationship are that. So I don't need to have boy parts down there in my panties to have a fulfilling, intimate relationship with another woman. No more so than any lesbian does. But a guy does it like this. And if you don't have that, how can you do it?
It's
the same way every lesbian does. That's all. And she kind of, she was like, oh, okay. And you know, and another thing that I pointed out to her is I'm not doing this in any way, shape, or form to make myself more acceptable or more desirable to anybody else. I am not doing this so that guys will like me more and want to date me, or even so that girls will like me more and want to date me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it because I need to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I will find in a relationship after this is done, and I'm sure that I will find someone, will be somebody that likes me for the me that I am now.
Yes.
And for the things that I can do now.
Yes. And this is so important. I'm like holding out the important stuff because no matter where you fall on the gender and sexuality line, that advice is spot on, where you are open. You're not even looking. You're open for the person or people who accept you for who you are, not who they think you are or who they want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or who you, that catches so many people trying to fit in. And I think especially now with so much up in the air, I won't go into that, don't need to.
Oh, yeah.
But so much in the air,
yeah.
we're constantly being told that we don't belong somewhere, you know, and a lot of us are making the decisions about our own, what we have to live with ourselves. No one else has to live with this. Whatever decision you make about yourself, you're the one who's going to live with it, not whoever it is you're trying to please in the moment. We're making these decisions based on whether or not we'll fit in or whether or not we will please some group of people or one person or whoever. And that's why I'm stopping the narrative right now, because I really think that's something that needs to really get out. We need to find out who we are and be that person.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, until you realize what your own needs are and accept that that is the important thing to follow,
mm-hmm.
then you're never going to get there. Some people, when they transition, they literally have to give up everything. They may have been married. They may have had, you know, wife and kids and family and a job and everything. And they literally have to give up all of that to be true to themselves, because the woman that they were married can't accept the idea that their husband is now their wife, or their employer can't accept the fact that the manager of their trucking department is now a girl who they probably wouldn't have hired if they had been a girl before they went into that job.
Yeah.
Or, you know, any one of a number of things like that. Again, here, I found that making sure that my family and friends did accept and did support me has been a huge, huge benefit. Talking to people, getting them to understand. Like, how many people ever knowingly have even talked to a transgender person?
That's a good question.
Not a lot. I mean, the average person on the street probably does not know personally anyone who is transgender, or at least doesn't realize that they know.
Hmm.
There are some of them like me that I go to the mall on a regular basis. I chat with strangers. I live my life. I'm just out there being me, being Sarah, being a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm accepted at full face value by virtually everybody I talk to. They hear my voice. They look at my body. They look at my makeup and my hair and my clothes and everything. And all the signals that I'm sending.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had so many of my friends say, yeah, I mean, you walk into the room and you are just radiating feminine energy now. And I'm not even making a conscious effort anymore. It's just, I'm just being me.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people that don't have that advantage of having started out somewhat androgynous. And there are people that are out there trying to live their truth, that God love them. They can try, they can do, they can be, but they're always going to be paddling upstream because everybody's going to look at them and based on the visuals that don't quite fit and the various tells that don't quite fit, and that you just can't change because they're too far from the norm that they are trying to reach. And it's sad for those people. I mean, it's very sad. I just wish that we could get to a point as a society where nobody cared, where everybody just accepted you are what you are who you are. There are plenty of cultures on this planet that do. There are plenty of Native American culture and a lot of other cultures have for centuries full or people that are not the gender norms that we accept in Western society, and accepted those as special and unique and valuable people.
Yes, I can remember
society would get to that point.
A series of articles that I've been looking for ever since I read it back in college. And I was a typical kind of a nerd, I guess you could call it. I'm hesitating because I don't know the word for it, other than I like to read a lot and always have. And I would go and spend my time in college in the library. And that's where I would be. If you couldn't find me in class or something, that's where I would be. And I ran across this publication. It was quarterly, called Signs, and it was fascinating to me, the different articles and different series. And one of them was about some research that someone had done, and this was far back, the research, where they had documents where Native people had different categories, and they weren't all based on gender. And also, they had a place for them until they got to the age where they could decide where they wanted to be and how they wanted to be in relation to the community. And there were ceremonies, sacred ceremonies that would they would engage on and claim themselves as whoever. And each tribe that they covered had a name for this extra or this ceremony or this decision. That was not based on sex or even gender, but you had that. And that is something that is lost because I can't even find the research now. I've been looking for it for a long time. And I wish I had been able to foresee and look at and keep the articles or make copies and keep them or whatever. But I didn't. So there's evidence, and there are communities that have this ceremony. I don't even have a name for it because I remember thinking that how empowering that would be, because I was a kid growing up that I preferred to wear clothes I couldn't wear. Boys' clothes, boots, that kind of stuff. I never really wanted to be a boy other than I thought that would be cool to have a gun and shoot or have cowboy hats that didn't look cute or not have to play with dolls. Mm-hmm. They were creepy. Dolls are creepy to me. So that's where I entered it, in this information that I'm trying to stumble through because I don't have the terminology anymore as far as the different tribes. Every tribe had a different name for transition, changing from female to male or male to female. And the whole thing was the way it was. That's when, I think it would be like when maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, they would go through the ceremony, not all of them, but if they wanted to, and transition into whatever, the opposite or whatever it was that they were not, according to the ceremonies.
Almost like the gender identity version of a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, that's what's missing now. We don't have that, and there are a lot of people who have been lost and got lost, and in a lot of different ways. So that's like why I am really glad to have you share your story. So
There are so many that don't make it, too. I mean, the number of transgender people that suicide because they just can't bear to live in a world that won't accept them for themselves is shocking. Just recently, the very first transgender-specific suicide support line has opened in this country. I don't have their number right in front of me, but if you look up transgender suicide support helpline, something like that, you should be able to find it. That service is now finally available out there for people that are struggling with this and that don't have that support. And I think that's an important thing for people to know so that, you know, if you are transgender or if you know somebody that is and struggling with this, and it's finding it hard to cope, there are resources out there that you can reach out to now.
Specifically for
independence,
you, yes.
Independence people, specifically for your community, that will accept you for who you are, that will help to get you through this. And that's an amazing, amazing step.
It is. I saw that, and I think it's on our website, but I'd have to check for sure, but if it's not, it will be. But I did see that recently. That was very recent, maybe a couple of weeks ago when that news hit. So we're coming up, and it's about 6 minutes, 5 minutes. What do you want to say to anybody out there who's thinking about it or listening or thinking about connecting? Or just starting a process? Yeah. What would you like to share with them?
You know, the first thought I had as you asked that is that I looked up at the wall in the room that I'm in right now. I'm relaxing in my bedroom right now while I talk to you on this. And on the wall, I've got a selection of portraits that were done of me, photo portraits, where I actually did a boudoir photo shoot. I actually did a very sexy women's photo shoot, so that I've got this collection of pictures that show off the best of my feminine side and that show me at the peak of what I can achieve so far in feminine appearance. And I've got this saying that I've got under one of them. It says, "Do not be afraid to reach for the stars. You've already held them in your hands." And to anybody that's going into this transition, what I'd say is don't be afraid to reach out and try to achieve what you need. The tools are there. The tools are available to you. The opportunities are available to you. And it may not be easy. It probably won't be easy. But it is, I can assure you, such a life-changing, positive affirmation when you start going through this and you start realizing, oh, my God, I'm looking in the mirror now and I'm really seeing me.
Mm.
I'm going out in public now and I'm really enjoying being me.
Mm.
That is something that is a gift you can give yourself that nobody else can give.
That's
is
true.
Finding out who you really are and doing what you can to get as close to that as you can. Even if it's just a matter of insisting, look, I don't care if I've still got a beard. I don't care if I still look like a truck driver. Please call me Mary and don't blame me for the fact that I wear a dress. You know, if that's all you can do, and that if that makes your life better, then do it. If you feel that you can go the whole mile and can go to the full finish line and transition fully, seek out what you need and do it.
Mm.
You won't regret it. I have only met a couple of transgender people that ever changed their mind and went back and had things reversed. And almost inevitably, the people that did were people that had no support or network of friends, that did not have the confidence of their decision to stick it out. And usually, they ended up reversing course again and going back to what they knew they should have been.
Yeah.
And that's so hard on the person emotionally, physically, medically. Process of transition is designed to make sure that before you take any critical steps, you have been vetted, you have been proven that, yes, this is the right course.
Mm.
You know, you talk to professionals, they assess you. They're not trying to give you a yes or a no. They're trying to give you the right choice.
Yeah. And that's so important.
And to make sure, that, you know, this is where your mind really is at. This is where you need to go for your happiness. And when you've got that, when you've actually got that assessment, both internally and verified by independent people, so much more likely that you're going to be successful in your transition.
And on that note, we're going to have to thank you again for being here and for all the
great
advice that you get. And we will be working together more, my friend. Thank you for being here.
Oh, definitely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's all for today. Until next time.
Thank you for listening. This has been Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Alondis Lake. Join us again. Continue to learn how to take charge in every situation, every challenge.